If you will, turn in your Bible this morning to Psalm 1. We know that scripture. It's a very scripture that we've read many times. It talks about the blessed man and the unblessed man. In verse 1, it says, "Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, that brings forth its fruit in season, whose leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he does shall prosper. The ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which wind drives away. Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish." Let us pray. Father, we thank you again for the word of God. And as we look at the blessed man and the unblessed man, Lord, may we look at our own lives. And Lord, if there's someone here this morning, man or lady or child or youth, Lord, that doesn't know you as Lord and Savior, Lord, today might be that day that they accept you. Lord, I pray that your perfect will be done in this service. And God, we give you the praise, for it's in your precious name, the name of Jesus, we ask these things. Amen. Now, there's no doubt in my mind what we need in our churches today, what we need in our families today, what we need in our country today, are men who are sold out to God, that they've given their life to God. In Isaiah 46, verse 8, God says, "Remember this and show yourself men." In other words, he's saying, stand up, men, and be counted. Stand up and be counted. You see, we need fathers today in America, in our families, who set an example of Jesus Christ more than anything in our life, in our culture today. We need men who will set the godly example for their families. They need to be strong men, sturdy men, men who are spiritual, who will say to their family or lead their family and say to their children, "Look at my life. Here is an example of the Christian life and how it's lived." There's one thing I can look back over in time and see in my father, that he was a Christian, that he loved the Lord, that he loved his wife, that he loved his children. And he set an example. And folks, I believe more than anything else, we need that example to be set in our families today. If you look at this passage of Scripture, you see something that just stands out when it says, "Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly." There is a denial there for the spiritual man. And it says, "Blessed or happy or is a man who intentionally avoids," look at that, "he avoids that wrong crowd." If you're going to set an example for your children, if you're going to set an example for your family, you must avoid the wrong crowd. You see, he walks not in the counsel of the ungodly. Exodus 23, verses 1 and 2, God says, "Put not thine hand with the wicked. Thou shalt not follow a multitude to do evil. Men, stay away from the wrong crowd. It's so easy to be enticed to go with the wrong crowd. It's so easy today to follow what the world wants you to do, because the world is leading our families in the wrong way. Every example that the world throws at you is enticing you to do something that's wrong. Now notice that sinners are described by three words. One, ungodly. Ungodly. Now the Hebrew word for that is unrest. Don't let unrest or untouched. It describes a man or someone who is out of touch with God. Let me ask you today, as you men are sitting there and you're thinking, you know, in church everything is great, everything is fine, we can come to church and we are around other men, we can sing with other men and be a part of that, but you know what? Ask yourself, am I out of touch with God? Is my life out of touch with God? Is there unrest in my life? You see, the spiritual man has to deny some things, and that's the ungodliness in the world. And it's so easy to get caught up. And so many times we're thinking, well, I'm just being a godly father. Yet it's so easy to lead our children in the ways of the world. You see, the spiritual man, not only he gets out of touch, he will not listen to the advice of one out of touch with God. You don't go to somebody that's out of touch with God for advice. I see all these people on television today giving out advice. And my first thought is, how can they give out advice when they haven't even given their life to God? They're giving you ungodly advice. Did you ever notice that when Jesus Christ consulted, he consulted in prayer, not with the world, he consulted with his Father before making any decision. Christ, God with us, God in the flesh, if he thought that he needed to pray to the Father before doing something, how much more should we look to God for the advice that we need to give our children? I've heard parents give children advice and it's they hadn't even prayed about it. And it's so ungodly so many times that it leads their children to believe, well, you know, it's all right. But it's ungodly advice. If Jesus depended upon the counsel of the Heavenly Father, and he did, you and I certainly need to listen to God for our advice. Not to the ungodly people out there in the world. Not to the people we work with. Now, if you know a fellow you work with that's a godly man, and he's living a godly life, and he's putting aside the things of the world and trusting God for things, it's all right to talk to him. It's all right to seek some guidance if you know he's a Christian. But before you do that, go to God. You talk to God. You be the one that looks to God. I think about the prodigal son. I think about that father. You know, our sons and our daughters, sometimes they go astray. They do things that we don't want them to do. But this godly father, if you look at his life, he was there praying all the time. I believe when that prodigal son was away, he was on his knees before God praying and waiting for his son to come home. You see, we need to listen to the commandments of God. Don't lose your control and lose your temper like so many do today and carry on in an ungodly way, but rather seek God's advice and have compassion. You know, we've all made mistakes, haven't we? I tell you what, I made more mistakes growing up than Carter got liver pills. But, you know, I tell you one thing. I had a father that would correct you, but he always listened to you. He always had time to listen to you. And at one time, I deserved a punishment. I deserved a good whipping. And I never will forget, Dad said, I'm not going to whip you, because I did the same thing when I was your age. But he said this, don't ever do it again. And you know what? I didn't do it again, because I knew the next time I was not going to get off so easy. And folks, we need to look and listen to godly advice. Now notice the word, not only that, but it says the word sinners. Sinners are those who always seem to miss the mark. They're like that prodigal son. They've strayed away from God. And in that straying away, they have become disobedient to God. They are commandment breakers. That's what sinners are. They do not follow the commandments of God. Somebody said, well, the commandments are Old Testament commandments. They don't have any part to do in the New Testament. Yeah, they do. They're not just suggestions. They're commandments that God has given us. You know, if you want to live a godly life, look to Him. Follow His Word. Get in His Word. Study His Word. Don't go the way of sinners. Don't go the way of the ungodly. You see, we need to do something in our life. And then he says the word scorners. Now, a scorner is not just out of touch with God. These people are the worst and vile offenders of God. I think of all the things goes on television today. And see how they make fun of our God. Man, I just turn them off immediately. I'm not going to watch somebody that makes fun of my God. We ought not do that. The scorners are the worst kind. They're prideful. They're self-sufficient in their spirit. They ridicule the holy things of God in their thinking, in the way they live their life. We ought not be messing with them. Not watching them. Not entertaining ourselves with them. No. And now notice the progression here in the first verse. If you walk long enough with the ungodly, the first thing you know, you're like old Peter, you're standing with them. And then if you stand with them long enough and get comfortable enough standing with them, you're going to find yourself seated with them. You see, that's what the old devil does in our life. He said, oh, this ain't that bad. You can walk with them a little ways. How else are you going to think you're going to reach a lost person if you don't walk with them a little bit? Well, there's a difference there. You don't entertain yourself by being with them all the time. They will lead you down. They will pull you down. The devil wants to ruin your life. He wants to ruin your family. Don't mess with the sinners. Now, we must be careful about our actions that we live, how we live and what we do in our life. The spiritual man must refuse to be in the atmosphere with the wicked men. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly. The spiritual man denies himself of the fellowship of those people who want to pull him down, who want to ruin his life. You know, it's one thing to go into the den of sinners on a Christian mission, and another to hobnob with them and feel comfortable with them. You don't do that. Don't stay with the ungodly. The Christian man must make a clean break with the things of the world. Just don't go there, folks. Don't go there, men. Don't go there. The denials of the spiritual man. He don't walk. He don't seek the counsel. He don't stand, nor does he seat himself with the scornful. That's the denials of a spiritual man. We must look at those things and remember, if you want God to bless your life and you want God to bless your family, you've got to listen to what the Word says. And He says, don't walk with the counsel, don't stand with them, and don't sit with them. Deny yourself of those men. And then there's the delights. I love this. Of the spiritual man. Look at verse 2. He denies some things in his life, but in verse 2, he delights in the law of the Lord. Look what it says. The spiritual man loves the law of the Lord. In other words, he loves the Word of God. Man, it ought to please you on Sunday morning to come. Bible study. It ought to please you to get in that study of the Word of God in Sunday morning, you see. The Bible says you need to listen to the words of God every single day. It doesn't hurt to think about them and meditate. Look at what it says. He meditates on the Word of God. What does that mean? It means he has a quiet time where he can just think about the words of God. You see, the Word of God is like a medicine. You take it in and it does your life really good. I talked about, it was last Sunday night, I believe it was, I spoke on Psalm 23. He prepares a table in the presence of your enemies. You see, the Word of God is there and it takes care of every situation that you have in life. Some read it. Some don't. But the Bible says it's nourishing to the body. It's the, it's kind of like Bluebell. Now, how is the Word of God like Bluebell? You delight yourself in it. Man, you delight in the Word of God. You just take it in and you enjoy it so much. Ain't that kind of like Bluebell? You delight yourself. I've never seen anybody yet not smiling when they're eating that stuff. Man, I delight myself in those kind of things sometimes too much. But you know, it's good for you. The Word of God is good for you. I love that passage of Scripture I said the other night, on Sunday night. You can just read it or you memorize it. The Lord is my shepherd. And there's something common about that. I shall not want. He leads me in the paths of righteousness. Oh, He's got everything that I need in life. And I love that last passage of Scripture where it says, and I'll dwell. I'll sit down in His house forever. This old world throws everything it can at you. Boy, you better take the Word of God in. And you better delight yourself in it, because there's no delight in this world. This world brings you down. The Word of God lifts you up. Now, the spiritual man meditates on the Word of God. You know what that means? He chews it over. I grew up in the country, and they tell me a cow has 4 stomachs. I believe that's right. But I watch those old cows, they'll go around that green grass, and they'll get all that green grass they can, and they'll go out there, and they'll sit down in a shade tree on a hot summer day, and they'll just sit there, and they chew in their cud. They take all that green grass in, and then it's kind of rough, but they get it to come back up. Regurgitate, I think. That's about as good as words you can say. But anyhow, they sit there and they chew that cud. And they're just thinking about, oh, how good that tastes. They're not thinking about anything else. They're not worried about anything else. You know what? You take the Word of God in. You read it. Man, you read, the Lord is my shepherd. Man, during the day, a problem comes up in your life, and you can meditate on that. He's all I need. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He's taking care of me. I know He'll continue to take care of me, because the Word of God says He'll take care of me. And you start meditating on those scriptures. And the first thing you know, there's a calmness about you. That's a very interesting word, isn't it? That word meditate. Just like thinking it over, chewing it over in your mind, over and over and over. I believe the spiritual man will delight himself in the Scriptures. He will encourage himself by the Scriptures. And not only that, he encourages his children to walk in the ways of God. Let me tell you, as a parent, don't just tell your children you ought to go to Sunday school. Bring them with you. I heard a lady one time say, well, I don't want to make my kid do anything they don't want to do. I thought to myself, as stupid as you can get. Where did you grow up? If you don't want to, you have to make children do things. If they don't, they're going to run over you. I tell you what, I didn't have any say-so. Ed Jones says, as long as you sit your feet under my table, you're going to do what I tell you to do. And brother, I tell you what, Sunday morning I didn't get to say, well, I don't think, Daddy, I'm going to church today. Y'all go on and have fun. No, when he said get up, you better split that sheet back and get up, get your clothes on, and get ready, because you were going to church. He didn't tell you but one time. That's all he needed to say. Get ready. The second time, if he had to tell you, it was a leather strap across you. And you didn't want that, I'll guarantee you. Because it didn't stop usually with one swipe. You were getting ready while he was swiping you. I tell you what, children need to be taught. You don't have to mistreat them. But you can teach them what you expect. And they will respect you. I respected him. He was my father. The Bible says, children, obey your parents. For that's right. Obey your parents. Parents, fathers, don't provoke your children. He wasn't provoking. He was just telling us. He knew what we needed more than what we need. That's the reason God gives us parents. And parents, we need to get into the Word of God. I believe a spiritual man delights himself in the Word of God. And I tell you what, when that spiritual man reads Ephesians chapter 5, brother, he's going to know he's to love his wife. He's to respect his wife. He's to treat her like a queen, and she'll treat him like the king. I'll guarantee you. There wasn't a time when my mother said anything against dead, except, Edwin, don't kill our kids. You're going to kill them. Daddy always said, no, I'm not going to kill them, but they're going to think they're going to die. But let me tell you something. I told you many times, he was a hard on us, but I tell you what, we needed it. I needed it. And I know my brother needed it. He was bigger than I was. Oh, but he loved us. He would do anything in the world for us because he loved us. I tell you what, he always wanted the best for his children, but he wanted us to respect our mother and the elders. It didn't matter who it was. If you was someone older than you, you said yes, sir, or no, ma'am. And I still say that, and he's been gone quite a few years now. But you know what? I'm afraid he might come back if I said, uh-uh. Oh, listen. God wants you to be a spiritual father to your children. You read what the Bible says, and you follow what the Bible says, and you won't go wrong with that. I tell you what, you won't go wrong. Delight yourself in the Word. That's a challenge to you. Delight yourself in the Word. Furthermore, you will delight yourself in being a Christian father. Your children are going to rise up and call you blessed, you know. Your children are going to honor you. They're going to praise your name because they're going to respect you, and they're going to respect their Lord that you serve. The most endearing term which we can refer to God is Father. You see, He's our Heavenly Father. That signifies that God is our daddy. He's our daddy. Now, the first picture that your children get in your life is a picture of God that they see in you, that they recognize because that's the life you're living. Now, ask yourself another question. Not only am I walking with God, how well do you represent God's love to your children? Think about that. How well do you represent God's love to your children? Fathers, don't let the years get away from you. Don't let your children slide through your fingers. It's so easy to do. It happens so quick. They're here today and they're grown up tomorrow. The training ground is in your home. Raise them according to God's word. Fathers, delight in the law of God. Somehow, get your priorities right and show those children the love of God, and they'll get a clear picture of God's love for them. And then the third thing, not only the denial of a spiritual man and the delight of the spiritual man, but there's a description of the spiritual man. He is planted like a tree. A tree on a solid foundation. Steadfast. Unmovable. He's not going to jump from one thing to the other. He's always abounding in the work of God. Isn't that great? I can recall pictures of my dad in my mind, and I know that he spent the happiest years leading music at Recklaw Baptist Church, singing "Victory in Jesus, My Savior Forever." I recall that. He loved that song. You could ask my wife. Boy, when he got up the lead, he was just a big fella, and he would open up and let her fly. Had a good voice. I can remember when the church needed a building, him and his cousin, James Crawford. They put a roof on that building. They were builders. And they got together with the other men there in the church, and they built that church for the glory of God. There's old pictures to look back on, old movie film. Boy, that's a real type. Y'all young people don't even know what that is. But back before they had cameras and video cameras, they had an old reel that you hook it up with another one, and it would play. And it would go up on the screen, and you'd see the shadows as it went through. But all those were good times. Go back in history and study that, young people. You'll just see how far we've come. You know, some men are like ships. They're tossed to and fro from every wind of doctrine. They jump from one to the other looking for the right one, and one denomination to another, and all that kind of stuff. But no, that's not where it's at. You need to plant your feet up on the rock of Jesus Christ. You plant your feet and you stand upon God's Word. You don't compromise the Word of God. That, as we've done so much in our society today, we've compromised the Word of God. You don't do that. You stand upon the Word of God. Do you know why we have so many young people doing all sorts of ungodly things in our churches today? And it is. We've compromised the Word of God. We've compromised. Oh, I could preach a sermon on what we need to wear to church. Some of you know, when I grew up, there was no such thing. You didn't wear shorts to church. You wore a suit just about it. I had a Sunday suit, man. I wore that suit till I wore it out. You didn't wear dresses. Girls, you wore dresses. You didn't wear pants. You didn't wear shorts. You wore long dresses. You see? We've compromised, hadn't we? I won't go any further than that. Listen, so many times today, people will tell you, well, you can live your life in the gray. Things are black and white, but you can live your life kind of in the gray area. And that's not right. There's no gray area. It's either right or it's wrong. You understand what I'm saying? It's either right or wrong. There is no compromise. There is no in between. There's no, you know, you're either for the Word or you're against the Word. You're either in the Word or you're out of the Word. You see? There's no in between, folks. Somebody told me the other day, well, preacher, it don't hurt to wear a hat in church. It did if you was my dad. Boy, you talking about getting slapped. You might wake up next week if you wore your cap to church. But there's no bringing a soft drink in the church. If I'd have brought a soda pops, you know what that is, girls, boys? I said that one day. Let me say this. I asked a young boy one time, I said, go out there in the turtle hurdle my car. What'd you say? I said, look in the turtle hole and get something out of it. They had never heard. How many of you know what a turtle hull is? All right, we've got some old timers here. Praise the Lord. How many of you don't know? Raise your hand. Oh, man. Lord, help me. Where in the world have you been hiding? Sure one down Ricklaw way. That's the trunk of a car. Now you know, Carol. But you're forgiven. You're from over Scotland? Okay. You're a foreigner, right? Yeah. Okay. Okay. I love you, girl, but it's the trunk of a car. But folks, there's some things that we grow up and we've kind of compromised, hadn't we? We've got away. Somebody said, well, it don't hurt to bring a drink into church. It does. You go to church to worship God, not sit there where you drink and drink and drink. Those things, it would make your life a whole lot better if you just did what God's Word says and keep His house and holy. You see, we've got away from those things in our modern day. But be like a tree planted on God's Word. Not only is He planted, I'll be through in just a minute, He's productive. He is a fruitful person. The godly man will have rewards in his life. You know, fruit is an extension or external evidence of the internal life in Christ. I'll get that right in a minute. You see, oranges grow up on orange trees, apples grow up on apple trees, pears grow up on pear trees. Christian people produce Christian lives. People who are rooted in the Spirit of God bring forth love. They bring forth joy. They bring forth peace. I had somebody say not long back, said, preacher, y'all's church is about the sweetest group of people that I know. You couldn't hardly have a better compliment than that. The business meetings here are sweet and peaceful. Man, I have seen them where, you know, there's knockdown dragouts in a Baptist church. But I believe the Christian life produces that kind of stuff. And a church that follows God's Word, you know, I told somebody, I don't agree with everything. I don't always get my way. But if that's what the church wants to do, then praise the Lord, I'll get behind it all I can and go with it. And I'm not going to get mad. And I'm not going to change churches. It's easier for you to leave than it is me. Amen. You know, use your gifts to produce good fruit. Now, a spiritual man doesn't wither. His fruit doesn't wither. His leaf, he's like an evergreen tree. He remains faithful. He remains faithful. You're going to remain faithful to God. You're going to remain faithful to your wife. And you're going to remain faithful to your family. You're going to go all the way with God. I think about Jesus. He said, Father, you know, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, your will be done. And he went all the way to the cross. He didn't wither. He did it for you and I, that we might have life. Now, men, this is Father's Day. Are you living the spiritual life with God? Are you leading your children and your wife and your family down the road that is narrow, that leads to eternal life? Have you given your life to Christ? If not, that's the first thing you need to do. Right now, give your life to Jesus Christ. If you've never received Him as Lord and Savior, you can't be the spiritual man unless He comes into your life. So start right there. Now, if you have received Christ as Lord and Savior, then start living for Him. Live for Him. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You today for these men and ladies that are here. And Lord, the children, and Lord, if there's someone here today that doesn't know You, Lord, may they come. Someone here today needs to make a decision. Lord, and this is the place that they need to make that decision. This is the time. Right now, they need to come to the front and make that decision for Christ. Lord, let them do that, for it's in Your precious name, the name of Jesus, we ask these things. Amen.